Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, nine lines down. Gemara says, Amri le Mar Yanuka Umarkashisha Braid Rav Chista. So the younger son and the older son of Rav Chista said to Rav Ashi, Zimna Chado Ikla Meimar Latrin. We had this case where a Meimar came to visit us in our city, Vavalan Chamra, and we didn't have any wine. Aitina le Shikra, we brought him beer instead. Vo Abdil, and refused to make Abdullah. Ubat Tavat, and he went to sleep hungry, meaning that he refused to eat because he had yet to make Abdullah lakos. The Machar, the next day, Tarachno, we made a concerted effort. By Tina Leich Amron, we found for him wine to use. The Abdil, he made Abdullah in it. The Tamide, and then he ate. The Shana, meaning the next year, the subsequent year, to Ikla Latrin, he came to visit us again. Lavalan Chamra, once again, we didn't have any wine. Aitina Shikra, we brought him beer to make Abdullah. Amar, Ihochi, Kamar Medinahu. This must be a major drink of this area. Abdil, I'll make Abdullah on it. B'tayim midei, and he ate from afterwards, because now he had made Abdullah alakos. Shmamina talat. We can conclude three things from this incident with Amemar. Shmamina, am Abdil b'tfilah, tzarich shavdil alakos. That even though you make Abdullah in tefillah, you still have to make Abdullah alakos, because here you see that Amemar refused to eat, even though he had made Abdullah during tefillah, because he wanted to make Abdullah lakos, and he wouldn't eat before he made Abdullah lakos. Ushmamina, surdo adam sheochal kodem sheabdil. And obviously that's the secondary point, which is that you can't eat until you've made Abdullah, because otherwise he could have eaten before he made Abdullah. The fact is, number one, you need to make Abdullah lakos, and number two is Abdullah lakos prevents you from being able to eat. Ushmamina, and the third thing, mishlo ibdil b'motzei shabbat, mavdil b'alecho l'shabbat gulo. Whoever doesn't make Abdullah on Motzei Shabbat can make Abdullah the entire week. The entire week is like what we said yesterday, not really the entire week, but until Tuesday of the week. And even though that's really not the conclusion you can draw from here, all you can learn from a Meimar is that you're allowed to do it on Sunday. Tosafot nevertheless says the conclusion is that it's all week, because that's the halacha. The halacha is that you can continue to say Abdullah until Tuesday. What's very interesting here in the Shmamina, and the Rashbam notes it, is what about Shmamina that you can use Chemar Medina? So he says, why is that absent over here? So that's what the Rashbam says. What about the fact that you can make Abdullah al-Khaymar Medina? That's an interesting conclusion here. Even though it's not wine, lo chashiv. That wasn't considered to be significant. It's not dealing with that issue. It's dealing with things that are generic to Abdullah, not about what specifically he was making Abdullah over. So that's one answer that the Rashbam gives. So the second answer is, inami milta de pshitahu. That's an obvious conclusion. They came in yayin acher ba'ir. Since there's no wine, tov lo she'abdil ha'sheikhar, me lo she'abdil klal. If there's no wine available at all, what do you want him to do? Not make Abdullah at all? Better than he makes Abdullah ala beer, then he doesn't make Abdullah at all. Now this actually goes to the definition of Chamar Medina according to the Rashbam. According to the Rashbam, Chamar Medina is ein yayin acher ba'ir azot. There is no wine in this city, kiyim she'ikhar, except for beer. Therefore you can use it for Abdullah. Mechein alocha, and that is alocha. He says, aval, mayim lo ikre chamar medina. Water is never called chamar medina, but if there is no wine here, then whatever is that substitute that they use for wine, that is okay to use for havdalah. So that is the Rashbam's conclusion over here as well. Why they didn't mention anything is because there's no wine, of course they have to use some sort of substitute, because that's his definition of chamar medina. On the other hand, the Rosh adds in a slight nuance to the Rashbam's explanation and says, the Chamar Medina is, as long as there is no wine within that vicinity, or a day's vicinity of that place. Most of the Achronim view that as a kula vis-a-vis the Rashbam, and say what that means is that there's no wine production in that area. So even though they have wine in the city, as long as the wine is not produced locally, then you have a right to use Chamar Medina, even though wine is found in the city. The Rambam is the one who gives a separate or different definition to Chamar Medina, which is it has nothing to do with the presence or lack of presence of wine, but rather a beverage or a drink is considered Chamar Medina when most of the people in that city, the majority of this city, would drink it instead of wine. They would use it as a replacement, or they would use it as a major drink in the meal instead of wine. The Rambam doesn't say that there's a lack of wine, but rather this item would replace wine even when wine is available. So that is the definition of what we have here of Chamar Medina. The Rashbam and the little nuance of the Rosh, and then we have the Rambam on the other side of what the definition of Chamar Medina is. And here we learn from a Meimar that you can use Chamar Medina, at least according to the Rashbam, when there is no wine available. And according to the Rambam, even if there's a wine available, as long as this Chamar Medina is a major replacement or substitute for wine, then you could also use it to make Havdalah. Now, by mine Rav Huna mi Rav Chista, that's the gears that we have in our Gemara. The Bach flips it and says it's by mine Rav Chista mi Rav Huna. Ma'olik dusha ashikra. Can you make kiddush on beer? So over here, Chamar Medina, using the beer for Abdullah, the Gemara concluded according to Meimar, yes. Question is now, what about kiddush? So, Amar Hashto, he says back to him, well now, Ma'av Pirzuma. Pirzuma is barley beer. Uta'ene, which is fig beer. Va'asne, which is the fruit of the thorn bush. Maybe it's Sabra beer. The Baimine Rav, we asked Rav whether you can use this. Rav mi Rabbi Chia, and Rav asked that question of his uncle Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia mi Rabbi, and Rabbi Chia asked his Rabbi Rabbi. Velo Pashatle, and he didn't have an answer. Shichra mi Bai. Over here, when you're talking about stam beer in their time was date beer, not beer from hops, then why would you even think to use it? Here we're having beers that are more significant, and yet they couldn't answer whether you could use it for Kiddush. Over here, we're talking about stam beer or date beer. Certainly, you shouldn't be able to use it. So, Savra Minah, he wanted to conclude from this, Yidushehu de lo mekad shina neilavei. Okay, the conclusion from this is you can't make Kiddush on it. Aval Abdulei Mabdalina, but you can use it for Abdullah. So, I'm a little Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, Achi am I Rav? This is what I heard from Rav. Kashem shein mekad shina lav, gachin mabdalina lav. Just like you can't make Kiddush on beer, you cannot make Abdullah on beer. It's my nami. Also, we have a similar memra, Amar Rav Tavklifa bar Rav Yimei Amar Shmuel. So this is the name of Shmuel. Kshem shein makdishim alav kachin mavdilin alav. Just like you can't make kiddush on beer, you cannot make abdol on it. Levi shudder le the rabbi. Shichra bar tlesar migane. Levi, a Talmud of Rabbi, sent to him this beer, this date beer that was run through dates 13 times over. Used 13 different bunches of dates to run it through. So it was a very potent and sweet type of date beer. Tame, he took a taste of it. Have a basim tuva. It was extremely aromatic, flavorful, and maybe even intoxicating. And he says about that, Amar gunze roi lekadesh alav. This type of beer, you can definitely make kiddush on it. Velomar lav koshi rot v'tish b'chod sh'v'olam. To say all the songs and praises to Hashem, meaning it's appropriate for a kosh shel bracha. Below yo, it's alright. That night, he got a stomachache. As the Rashbam points out, that date beer, or dates in general, cause a loosening of the stools, he had diarrhea. So Amar, he says, Miyasran umifayes. So now, three different ways to learn this. Rashi says, Miyasran umifayes. He says, now it's problematic, but when you drink it, it tastes great. So if it did good when you drink it, then it's good enough to make kiddush on it. And that's the way Rashi says, the pain's later, but you can use it as a pius, you can use it for kiddush, because at the time of the kiddush, it tastes great. The Rashbam says, no, this is a bitmia. Which is, miyasron umifayes? Well, how could you possibly use this for kiddush when in the end it's going to make it miserable for you? So this definitely can't be used for kiddush. And the Rabbeinu Chananel, which is the pshat that's also quoted here by the Masoret Hashas, says that the pshat here is miyasron from someone who is moser or mesir, someone who tempts or seduces. And that this beer is a seductive or trap because it feels good, it tastes great, but then in the end it's bad. And so to this beer, it's not the right beer to use for kiddush because it makes itself appear sweet and great, but in the end it's not really good for you. Amar Rav Yosef, Adur Birabim, I would take a neder Birabim, to Ishte Shechwa, that I won't drink beer. Amar Rava, Ishte Meizorion, I'd rather drink the water from the soaking of the barley, which was putrid water, and I will not drink beer. That a person's only drink should be beer if he makes kiddush on beer. And beer being the drink of the poor. And if he chooses to use beer for kiddush, he should always drink beer and never have wine. Rav, Ashkechei Rav Huna de Kaddish HaShichra. Rav found Rav Huna that he was making kiddush on beer. He says that since Abba, being Rav, you started to make a good living from beer, now it's permissible for you to make kiddush on beer because you like it. So now here we have a little bit of tension in the sugya. We had a Meimar in the beginning of the sugya that says that you can make Havdala Chamar Medina. Then we have a set of Amoraim soon to indicate that you cannot make Havdala nor kiddush on Chamar Medina and Sheikhar on beer. And then we have two examples, one of Rabbi, who when Levi sent him the good beer was willing to make kiddush on it, and Rav, who also was willing to make kiddush on beer in the end. So what is the aloch over here? So we do paskin like a Meimar, because we have Maisir Rav, because he actually acted on his position, and he did make Abdullah on beer, and therefore we do follow that position as Chamar Medina. But according to the Rashbam, that's only true when there's no wine available. So then why, by Rabbi and Rav, do we say that they were allowed to do it? To say they didn't have wine is unusual because Rabbi, for sure, we know was very wealthy, and Rav, too, was seemingly very wealthy. So over here, the Rashbam says, the reason they drank it was, he used it because they loved the beer. They liked beer better than wine. So the Rashbam here has two instances where you can use chamar medina. One is a case where there is no wine available. The other case is where that object is tastier to you than the wine. So even if the wine's available, you could still utilize it. Now that, again, is only according to a maimar for Havdalah. The question of Kiddush is still outstanding over here. Now, according to some of the Rishonim, like the Rosh and Tosafot on the previous Amud discussed this issue of Chamar Medina, they think that if you believe that you can make Havdalah on Chamar Medina, so too you can make Kiddush on Chamar Medina. And the Amoraim over here that said that you cannot make it on beer was because it wasn't a Chamar Medina. It wasn't the major drink in that city. There was wine available in that city. And truthfully, everybody agrees that Chamar Medina is allowed when there's no wine available. And in addition to that, you could, when the Chamar Medina is more beloved or you like it better than the wine, you could utilize it in that situation. The Rosh quotes Rav Amram Goin, and the Rambam also passes this way, which is that Chamar Medina can only be used for Havdalah and never used for Kiddush. And the reason to differentiate was mentioned in the Tosafot in the previous Amud is that we know when it comes to the Kiddush at night, you have an option to do it a la pot. Since you have an option to do it a la pot, you have an alternative to wine, which is pot. But by Havdalah, you don't have that option. Since you don't have the option to use pot instead of wine, we have to give you another alternative, and that's why the Chachamim allowed Chamar Medina by Havdalah and not by Kiddush. As far as the Halacha is concerned, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the compromise of the Rosh, which is that when it comes to Chamar Medina at night, Kiddush at night, we don't allow it. If you don't have wine, you should use bread. You should make a motzi. But when it comes to Havdalah, if you don't have wine, then for sure you can use Chamar Medina. And then when it comes to Kiddush in the daytime, since over there using bread is not so obvious that it's a Kiddush, you could use Chamar Medina. And that's that compromise position. The Rama mentions that the use of Chamar Medina is only Bidi Eved. Although, if you like it better than the wine, then it can elevate it to the position of being Lichat Chila. And the Mishnah Berurah paskins that way, using the definition of Chamar Medina of the Rashbam, and says that if there's no wine available, then you can use Chamar Medina. But if wine is available, then Chamar Medina is Bidi Eved, and you should opt for wine. Unless, of course, like the Rama says, that you like the Chamar Medina better than wine, then you can use it even in the face of wine. And the question that comes up is, why do we allow people to make Kiddush and whiskey? The Bach raised this issue. He actually brought it up in the form of the Rabbanan, and he says, I don't understand why people do this. We have wine available, and if wine's available, why should we be making Kiddush b'dieved on whiskey and not using the wine that is available to us? Now, first of all, there are a number of answers to this question, one of which is that if you define Chamar Medina like the Rambam, then you might not have this issue. The only issue of it being b'dieved is if you believe like the Rashbam that the definition of Chamar Medina is when there is no wine available. But if you use the definition of the Rambam, that even when wine's available, if you like whiskey better, then you could use it as Chamar Medina. That might be an answer to the problem. If you're mitzarif that with the fact that Kiddush during the day, as the Mishnah Berurah says, is only derabbanon, we're going to allow you to use whiskey in that instance if you like it better than wine. So if you like whiskey better than wine, we'll allow you to use it, number one, because then with the tzirif of the Ramah, who says that when you like it better, even when wine's available, you're allowed to utilize it, like the Rashbam says over here. In addition to that, if we pass them like the Rambam, who says that even when wine's available, if you like the Chamar Medina, or more people use the Chamar Medina and like it better, then you can use it even in the face of wine. And the fact that it's only a din derabbanan of Kiddush, all of those together allow us to use whiskey for the Kiddush in the morning. The only thing the Mishnah Berurah notes is if you're going to use whiskey, you have to have the same rules as wine, which is you need a revit, you have to have a full revit of whiskey, and you have to drink a malol lugma of whiskey in order to be yotzei. So that would make it very difficult to use shot glasses for whiskey, because that doesn't have a sufficient amount for revi'it. And also, to drink a molugmav is a significant amount of whiskey. You might be able to get help from the people around you. You might have other people who are there to help you get to the rov revi'it, but it's still a significant amount of whiskey. The Taz does mention a possible heter over here, which is very precarious, which is, since whiskey is normally consumed in quantities that are less than a revi'it, then it's considered significant even in quantities that are less than a revi'it. Again, it's a very precarious heter and should not be relied upon. And the Mishnah Berurah paskins that if you're going to use whiskey, which, again, is already subpar. Although we found ways to get around it, you have to do it with all the considerations or all the halachot of wine. Right now, the Gemara continues. You're going to make kiddush on wine, and you're going to make a bracha on wine. Or it says, "Atu ashich v'amayu loy milo mevachin alayu." Wait, when it comes to beer and water, we don't make bracha on them? It has a bracha also. So that can't be the meaning here. This is what it means. Don't bring a kos for bracha to make a bracha on it. Meaning the kos of birkat hamazon should be yayin. And so too, this question of chamar medina comes up with regards to birkat hamazon. Tosafot again discusses this in the previous amud and says that he favors the possibility of using chamar medina in the cases where there's no wine for birkat hamazon. Even if you want to suggest by kiddush you can't use it, maybe by birkat hamazon it would be okay. Now, Tarabanan, ein mekadshin al sheikhar, you're not allowed to make kiddush on beer. Mishum avlozer ber b'shimon amru mekadshin mitimat yain koshu. That when you make kiddush and you have to have a tima, you have to taste it. We said a mekadish tzorich shi'itom. That tima is any amount. Just take a small sip of it and you're done. Be'osivir yudom erim alo lugmav. You have to take a cheekful. Assumption being that a cheekful, as Tosafot points out here, is a rov revi'it in a normal person. And therefore, we want you to consume a rov revi'it. Malo lugmav is what you have to be toim. The Rishbam l'shitato says here that malo lugmav can either be the mekadesh or any of the parties that are party to the kiddush. The Gaonim disagree, and the Gaonim say that it has to be the person who made kiddush himself drinks that amount. But, at least going to the Rashbam, other people will be mitzareif. In general, our practice is that the mekadesh takes a drink, and then the remainder of the people help him get to Rov Kos or Rov Revi'it by pouring it out to them. Am Ravuna Marav, v'chein tani Rav Gidol de Minarsh, ha-mekadesh, v'tam lo mlugmav yatsa. Person makes kiddush and tastes the amount of a cheekful is yotze. Pimlav, if he didn't do that, lo yatsa, then he's not yotze. Am Rav Nachman Yitzchak, ana tanina la, I have this same memra. V'lo Gidol bar Menashe, v'lo Gidol bar Minyumei. I don't have it in the name of Gidol from Menashe or Gidol, the son of Minyumei, or the Gidol Stamo. I just have it as Stam Gidol. So I don't know if it's Gidol ben Menarsh. I don't know which Gidol it is because I just have the name Gidol used here without any modifier as to the son of or from where. So the Minaf Kamino. Why does it make a difference who it came from? The memra is the same memra in the end. The memra di day adi day, because we find another memra from this same amora, and we want to say there's a contradiction here. We need to know which amora it is, and therefore we're trying to clarify which amora it is. So we have the memra originally brought from Rav Gidol de Minarsh, and then Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, I'm not sure that that's the case. I just have the memra in the name of Gidol plain, and that means it could be any one of these amoraim that has the name Gidol. Then the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah and says that one may not begin on Erev Pesach to eat Samuch de Mincha. Gemara says, "Yibaylu samoch lemincha gedolatnan, oh dilma samoch lemincha ktanaktan." When we say samoch lemincha, does that mean mincha gedola, meaning at 12:30, the earliest time that you could bring the karban tamid, or does it mean mincha ktana, which is the normal time that you bring a karban tamid? Samoch lemincha gedolatnan. Why would you have to not start a meal close to 12:30, meaning at the beginning of the period that you can bring the tamid? Mishum Pesach. That's because of Korban HaPesach. That's the Zman that you can start bringing Pesach. Dilma Ate LeMimshach. Well, where you get involved in a meal, you'll forget to bring your Korban HaPesach. Ve'ate LeMnuyei Minlavet Pischa. And then you won't do the Korban HaPesach. Or Dilma, Samach the Mincha Ktana Ktan. Maybe it means close to Mincha Ktana. Ushum Matzah. And it's a problem for Matzah. Dilma Ate LeMichla Matzah Achila Gasa. Because then maybe you'll come to eat Matzah Achilat Gasa. Meaning that you'll have eaten so much, by the time you get to Matzah, you'll be overeating, and you won't enjoy the matzah, and it won't be considered to be eating to accomplish the mitzvah. The Rashbam over here asks, wait a minute, I don't understand. Don't we also have to eat the Korban HaPesach that night? So even if you say mincha ktana, why are we focused on matzah, and we're not focused on the issue of eating the Korban HaPesach that night? So he brings two answers. One of them is that Korban HaPesach is only relevant when there is a Korban HaPesach. Matzah will be relevant even when there is no Korban HaPesach. So matzah has a longer duration in terms of its halachic impact because matzah is always a chiyuv on this night, where Pesach is only true when there's a mikdash. The other answer he brings is that it's a lot easier to be full to the point where you don't want to eat any more matzah versus to be full to where you don't want to eat any more korban haPesach. Tosafot says that he thinks that answer is correct because the first answer makes no sense. Even if the institution was because of korban haPesach, even when we don't have a korban haPesach, it stays in place. We'll see that on tomorrow's daf. With Rav Sheshet, that once the institution is in place, you keep it, even though the Beit HaMikdash is no longer extant. So that can't be the reasoning over here. Now, Tosafot over here addresses an issue which is of Achilat Gasa. We find Achilat Gasa pop up in Shas in different places, including in Yoma, with regards to Yom HaKippurim, that Achilat Gasa is not considered to be Achilo. And if you eat it, then you're not violating the Inui of Yom HaKippurim, and you're not Chayav, Karet. On the other hand, we find in other places in Shas that if you eat a Korban Pesach Achilat Gasa, even though it's not the best mitzvah, you still accomplish the Korban HaPesach. So is Achilat Gasa considered to be eating? Or is it not considered to be eating? The Rabbeinu Tam brings up a Chakira, a Chiluk within Achilat Gasa, and he says there are two types of Achilat Gasa. There's Achilat Gasa, which it's so disgusting. If you ate any more, you'd be completely disgusted with it. It would make you sick. That Achilat Gasa, if you eat afterwards, is not considered to be eating. On the other hand, there's another Achilat Gasa, which is you're full. You don't want to eat any more food. But if you ate something more, all right, you deal with it. It wouldn't be the most pleasant, but you still will deal with it. That Achilat Gasa, it's not the best way to eat. But when you eat like that, it's still considered to be an achila. And from that, he differentiates within achila gasa as to whether an achila is considered to be eating or not eating. Tosafot does offer another alternative and says that since achila korban pesach is not me'akev, therefore achila gasa is not problematic by korban pesach because it's not me'akev, the accomplishment of the korban of pesach. And by doing that, he reconciles the gemaras without having to go to the chiluk of the Rabbeinu Tam. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Avina Tashma Afilu Agripa Samelech Shu Ragil Leachol B'Teisha Shaot Oto Ayom Lo Yuchal Ad Shetech Shach. Agripa Samelech, who normally got up and ate at the ninth hour, he shouldn't eat until nightfall on that day. Now, why did he eat at the ninth hour? Tosafot brings down some that suggests that he used to wake up like the kings on the third hour, and then he acted like a Talmud Chacham not to eat until the sixth hour, and that's how we got to the ninth hour. Tosafot rejects it and says it doesn't seem to make so much sense. Now, the Rashbam calls Agrippas HaMelech, Melech Kasher Haya, that he was a good king and a Kasher, although Tosafot brings us a story from Sota, which seems to indicate that that's not the case, that Agrippas was not such a great king. The Gemara has different sides. We know from Josephus that there were altercations between Agrippas and the Kohanim that served in the Mikdash, and there was some tension between them. So Agrippas, in some cases, is viewed positively. In other cases, he has a negative slight to him, so it's not so clear that he was exactly the most upstanding Jew here. But nevertheless, he didn't eat normally until the ninth hour. Now, the Gemara says here, well, even Agrippa Zamelech, who didn't usually eat to the ninth hour, he has to not eat now because it's close to the time, and he has to wait till the night time. If you say that our Mishnah means close to Minchaktana, which would be 3:30 or 9.5 hours on the day, that's the Chiddush of Agrippas. If you say that our Mishnah meant close to Minchaktana at 12:30, 6.5 hours onto the day, what's the question here? Chala Yisraelei Mikara. He's 3 hours into a Mzman Yisr. By the time he wants to eat, it's been also for a number of hours. Why should he be able to eat at this point? Ella Samuch L'Minchak Tanaktan? Okay, so you want to say now, okay, let's say that it's Samuch L'Minchak Tana, which means by around 9, 9.5 hours onto the day. Sof, my Rebute de Agrippas. What's the Chiddush of Agrippas? He's still starting Mzman ahead there. If he's starting Mzman ahead there, what's the problem? So, the Rashbam claims over here that even though he starts the Zman Heter, since he knows for sure he's going to go into the Zman Isur, we don't let him eat. Okay, so if that's the case, he's also Chalalei Isur. If that's the case, then why should we allow him here? Matalei Zman Isura. Then he still is considered to be Asur. So, Madatema Tesha showed the Agrippas, Garba Shoti Dundami, that the ninth hour for Agrippas is equivalent to us eating on the fourth hour of the day. He'll be ready to eat at night because that's when he normally eats during the day. Kamash Malan, that we don't say that he has no dispensation. If he didn't eat until this point, we're worried about him being able to eat Betei Avon that night, and he may not eat his meal at the ninth hour of the day. He's subject to the same restrictions as anyone else. Amar Rabbi Asi Aval Matbilhu B'minei Targima. And even though you're not permitted to eat Seudot, what you are allowed to do is partake of Targima. Rashbam says Targima is Basar and Perot, means meat and fruits, because those are things that whet your appetite, and they get you excited about the food that's coming. And so therefore, those are permissible as long as you don't have bread involved with them. Tosafot questions this explanation of the Rashbam. He finds some support for it, but he says, when the Gemara uses mini targima, it usually means mizonot. Although again, it'd be very hard to find mizonot on that day because of the issues of matzah and the inability to eat matzah, so on and so forth. We are sticking with the approach that it's peirot or basar. Rav Yitzchak matbil biyarke. Rav Yitzchak used to dip with vegetables. He used to take vegetables and dip them in order to eat them, in order to whet his appetite. The Rambam writes about this, that you can only eat a small amount of vegetables. You can't eat unlimited. Probably because of the word matbil. Because it was matbil, which dipping, which was a limited quantity of vegetables. Tanyanami hochi. We have a brayta that supports this. A shamash matbil b'mnei ayin. That he can dip the intestines. If he wants to, whether he eat the intestines and dip them to eat them. Or whether he dips something into the intestines. But not on the fiyarachim, and he give them to the guests in order to whet their appetite. Even though there's no proof to this, we have a mention of this in the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, shenemar, nir lachem nir. You should plow for yourselves the troughs, ve'al tizru el gotzim, and do not plant for the thorns. So here we have three different interpretations of this. There's Rashi, there's Shvam, and Tosafot. Rashi says, k'shatem torchim, when you're busy preparing the food, titrachu b'davar shatem yuchulim le'not menu. Get involved with something you can get benefit from. So when you're plowing, you should get benefit from the plowing. Plant the seeds there. And don't plant amongst the thorns. So to over here, the shamash who's working with the food, he should be able to partake of the food. It would be too much pain for him to work with the food and not eat anything. So we permit him to eat because it's not going to ruin his appetite. It just takes away the pain of not being able to eat. That's the way Rashi learns it. The Rashbam rejects that explanation and says, no, what it means here is, nir lechem nir, it's better to plow the field and then plant in the field, you'll have a more successful planting than if you just go and throw the seeds into the field before plowing it. Meaning that if you prepare and you do the work, you'll have a much better situation. What the Rashbam says is, therefore, if you eat, then there's more likelihood that later on you'll want to eat more. Because there's plowing here, helps to open up the field and span the field, and you plant into it. So to over here, the food will help open up your stomach and you'll want to eat more. So it whets your appetite. And that's the mashal here. And don't just throw the seeds out. Tosafot brings a third possibility, which is, he looks in the context of the rest of the parak, which says, Hashem says to Bnei Yisrael, when you're ready to get rid of your idol worship, you can come back to me. But as long as you're holding up onto your idols, don't bother coming back to me. There's no point in coming back to me. So too, the nimshal over here is the same thing, which is, plowing the field or planting is not valuable as long as you're still holding on to the thorns or you're holding on to the bad stuff. Plowing is only good or meaningful when you were doing it for the purpose of planting. And so too over here. When you eat a little bit, then a person builds up an appetite to eat more. But if a person doesn't eat at all, and he's mitiayesh, and he gives up hope of ever eating, then he doesn't have any appetite later on. Like by the Avodah Zarah, if Bnei Yisrael are willing to give up the idols, then they should return to Hashem. But if they give up hope of giving up the shikutzim, they shouldn't bother to come back. So same thing over here. If you are hungry and you don't eat anything, then you're going to give up hope of getting food and you're not going to be having appetite later on. On the other hand, if you eat a little bit, that will keep your appetite alive and will prepare you for eating the matzah that night, b'tei avon. Okay, we'll stop over here.